Hey everybody, this is post-editing Sam here from the future. Kind of, not really. I got to work on editing this kind of late because we recorded late and I just was so tired and whatever. I just wanted to say this really quick. I was kind of advised to just say this really quick just because it happened literally right after we were done recording this on Thursday night and we stopped recording and we were kind of cruising the Discord and someone had posted a tweet from the official Dragon Ball page that Akira Toriyama passed away. He was 68 years old. A lot of us on the Discord, in our little Discord community there, you know, we were talking and mourning and some of us were crying. I was crying. It's really tough. In light of this happening, we will probably most likely be switching up some of our schedule to do a creator spotlight for Akira Toriyama, and I just wanted to come on quickly and just say this, and I can't speak for Danny and Nick or anyone else who is affected, but a lot of people my age, at least within a wide scope of my generation, even millennials just in general, are probably affected in some way by this. It's like I don't know anyone who is not affected by this, honestly. I've seen so much stuff online today and there's so many of us who are hurt, and I can't speak for anyone else. I can't speak for Danny or Nick or Honeybear even, but I know that one of the reasons I have been drawing for as long as I have, and one of the reasons I continue to draw is because of Toriyama Sensei, and I'm going to cry again if I don't stop, so I'm just going to just say rest in paradise, Akira Toriyama, and thank you for all the years of enjoyment you've brought everyone to all of our fans and to us, and we love you.
The reason why some of those shots were so long, and I was trying to find the nuance in it, and I couldn't, you know, maybe there isn't one, maybe they just did it like that, I'm not sure, but like there's like some scenes that are just so long, like they're just like, there's a couple of parts where like they're sitting on the train and they're staring out the window.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Anime Summit Podcast. It's your favorite host with the most, Sam the Bomb. And of course, with me standing on business every week is Danny.
Oh, man. I hope I can recover from this.
And
wee woo. I kept thinking of that SpongeBob scene.
Wee woo, wee woo.
He's right. Just put on your siren. I'll be right there, Patrick.
Wee woo.
Showing him the picture. Okay, we gotta do a SpongeBob episode one day. Just SpongeBob review. It's gonna be like a 5-hour podcast. I was just quoting every funny fucking part of SpongeBob. Dude, later though. That's for later. Right now, we're gonna talk about a 1985 anime classic movie, Night on the Galactic Railroad, and based on a old novel. Okay, by Kenji Miyazawa. Okay, I don't remember who, because I had not heard of this until I was already doing the podcast, and I feel like I had seen images of it before somewhere when I was younger, maybe. But either way, maybe I saw VHSs at a store or something. I don't know, but like or at a con or something maybe. But I had not heard of it, I think, until I think Nick brought it up, or somebody, Nick or Danny brought it up. And I was like, oh, my God, what are these cat faces? Or it might have been someone on the Discord who brought it up, you know, anyways. I didn't know it was on Retro Crush. And so I said to Danny and Nick, I was like, oh, we're planning March. I'm like, hey, let's watch this. I want to watch Catboys. Catboys on the train.
Face Johnson's.
Face Johnson's.
It'll be fun. Just like the ball sack anime, right, Sam? You know the one, the ball sack that's Nuki's? I literally forgot the name. I just call it ball sack
Pompoko.
Pompoko, that's right.
The best Ghibli movie ever. Shut up. Shut up, man. You don't know what you're talking about. Anyways, I wanted to review it. And because I had never seen it before. And I don't know if Danny and Nick have. You guys haven't seen it before, right? Okay.
I never saw it.
I think Nick had mentioned, like, I don't know, a couple years ago that we should watch it at one point, and I had totally forgotten about it. So I was like, oh, it's on Retro Crush. Let's watch. So
well, I always confuse that. It with Galaxy Express 999 because I think that has a train also.
Well, yeah, Leiji Matsumoto. Yeah. I mean, I think it does.
I don't think like, they're the related though.
No. But like, we should review that too. But yeah.
Oh yeah.
Nick was like, I kept confusing it with Galaxy Express 9999. And he was like, oh, so it's the one with the face of Johnson's.
Yeah. It's like, it's a cross between that and cat soup.
Cat soup, yeah. Maybe it was cat soup that I was thinking
Dude,
of,
the cat
yeah,
ate like, some soup in this. Anyway, yeah, spoilers.
Night on the Galaxy Express 9999 Queen Emeraldus cat face Italians. But yeah, freaking, let's just jump right into it, okay? Let's not waste no more time. I'm going to talk about some cats, okay? This is the closest I'm going to get to be talking about cat shit one, so let's do it. Links.animesummit.net. Beep. That's all where you can find wherever to follow, where to subscribe and listen. All the good stuff. There's also the store link there. Buy some merch. And also for the Anime Plummet, go listen to the Anime Plummet. I was recently on a King's Drunken Court. I don't know when that's coming out. I hope it's out now. I think it is. And if it's not, my bad, King, but it should be out soon. All we did was talk about Final Fantasy, and it was hilarious. And then also, King and I. That's actually really funny, The King and I. We should review The King and I on King's as a cinematography. We should have King on it. The King and I, King from Anime Plummet, were on Otaku Host Club podcast. We were talking about Jujutsu Kaisen season 2, and that was really fun. So, I talked way too much, and I felt really bad, but they were like, no, we loved it. I was like, okay, yeah, if you say so. But yeah, love those guys. Those guys are great. Go listen to their podcast. I have fun listening to, like, it's funny because oftentimes the three of them disagree with each other in a very fun way, because Amelia's always just kind of like, nah, I don't like that one. Like, it's really funny. Thank you, Danny, for not tagging me in the Gojo cat bag, you fucking slut.
Yeah, Danny, horse slut bitch.
Anyways, so like...
No, I can only tag so many people, okay?
Yeah, I'm the first. You're welcome that everyone's in the JJK.
Oh,
everyone's,
by the way,
everyone's welcome.
Tag me in all your free run memes, please.
Yeah, tag me in all the free run memes.
I don't have any free run memes, sorry.
Yeah, everyone's welcome. That. Everyone in our community, the Anime Summit community, you're all welcome for me putting all y'all on JJK, just so you know. You're welcome. You're all very welcome. Shout out to new patron Riverboat Ram. I got your DM on Patreon, and I just gave you the patron role. I didn't know you were in the Discord. I apologize. So you haven't said anything in our Discord yet, but feel free to get in there now, and you should be able to see the patron channel, okay? Shout out to the new patron, Riverboat Ram. And on Spotify, we got left with a comment from last week's episode. What do you think are some underrated anime? And is what I asked. And, I'm going to publish it. I didn't publish it yet. There we go, published. Nick R. said, Aria the Animation. I... would kind of agree that it is a little underrated. I think people have forgotten about it. You know what I mean?
I almost put that, but I would have gotten smacked by Danny if I said that show.
Yeah. I mean, I think people have kind of... Nick is the one keeping it alive right now. Nick and Kai are the ones keeping...
And Fruit. Fruit likes it too.
And Fruit. Yeah.
The olds. So, in other words, the olds. All of us are
the
old.
The olds. Yeah. So thank you for that.
Old. We're not old enough for... we're almost old enough. One of us might be old enough for president.
We're almost old enough. But yeah, dogs. So thank you. Thank you for Nick R. and Riverboat Ram for contributing to our community, making it fun, having a good time. And then two things, and I swear I'm done. Hot takes. We want your anime hot takes. If you're on Discord, go on the participation channel and give us your anime hot take. It can be about an anime show itself. It could be about a manga. It could be about a convention. It could be about a fandom. It could be about, how come Uniqlo does all these collabs with this anime, not this anime, you know? Or it could be about whatever, something anime related, okay? Give me some, okay? Give me your hot takes, okay? If you leave a troll comment thing, then we're just going to ignore it and move on, because, yeah. Anyways, the award show reminder, Here we go. Danny posted, and actually I'll pin it because I forgot to do that. Last year we did the Plummet of the Summit 9000 Chocolate Fudge Coated Super Show Awards 2023 or 2022, where we came together with the Plummet and the, all eight, seven of us nominated shows for different categories, like Oscar style, you know, and we decided to do again this year. I don't know what we're going to call it yet. I'm going to change the name every year. I'm leaning towards something. Shout out to Robot. Is that Robot? MF Roast is Robot, right? Isn't that MF Roast? Yeah. Oh, yeah, it is. It is. Robot. Shout out to Robot for giving me some suggestions on what to name it. But yeah, that I just pinned it in the announcements channel on our Discord. If you go there, and I think Danny tweeted it. I'm not sure, but we'll tweet it. We'll tweet it. Oh, okay. Danny tweeted it. It should be one of the latest tweets if she didn't pin it. But it's a Google Doc. You just go in there, vote for each anime in each category, and then we'll use those results, and then we'll have the show, and it'll be a great time. That's going to come out soon, okay? All right, moving on. That took too long. Okay, question of the week. Nick?
All right, question of the week. This is from Mike Aru, and they ask, what is the best way to deal with anime burnout? Have we answered this one?
No, I don't think so. That's a good question, because I've been kind of feeling, not lately, but a couple seasons ago, I felt it really bad, anime burnout really bad. What helped me was playing video games. And
then you get video game burnout.
Yeah, give yourself burnout somewhere else, you know?
Yeah.
And what else? What also helped was trying to do, and so we always give Nick guff for like watching anime in the background, right? Whatever. But like, if you can do a task or a hobby in which you can still pay attention fully to the show,
see, now
then
it depends on the show. If it's a serious one,
it depends on the show. It depends on the show.
And
if it's just like a slice of light, like a cute girls doing cute things, seasonal comedy, then fine.
Yeah. And it also has to be like a hobby that you can multitask.
The
like,
more ADHD, the better.
Like video games, for example. Like sometimes I'll do that. Like I'll put on a show while I'm playing a game, but it all depends on the game. Like I'm not gonna watch an anime while I'm playing freaking Persona or Final Fantasy, because
yeah, if you need the audio,
those are story driven games, and I need my attention on that.
No,
game.
Danny, you can hold both stories in your mind at the same time.
No.
So for me, I'll just tell you guys.
Danny's driving down the mountain with two cups of water, and they're both spilling.
I'll just tell you guys what I did, and you take that too.
It's a bumpy
road.
She's
on a Vespa.
It's on a bumpy road.
But your drifts are clean.
she's like, here comes the next drift. Anyways, I'll just tell you guys what I did, and you take that as inspiration, whatever the fuck, okay? When I was not watching anime, I was playing Blasphemous, or a Vania-type game that made me just only focus on that. Like, I could only focus on that. I did a little too much. I blew through those games really quick, and now Blasphemous and Blasphemous 2 are some of my favorite pieces of art in the world. I love them. Hades. Doing Hades runs. I love Hades. It's one of the coolest games ever, and I'm excited for Hades 2. So that helped. Or playing Dust Force, which is my favorite game of all time, next to Nintendo Cats on DS. That was a joke. I don't want to play that game. I have real cats and they're annoying. Anyways, so the other thing I do, and if it's an easy show to watch, like a slice of life, like Nick said or whatever, I'll build Gunpla. Or if it is a serious show, while I'm building on my kit or whatever, I just will put my tools down and the piece down, and then like watch that moment and be like, oh shit, you know. And then when it gets, you know, when it gets it going again, then I'll just, you know, pick up and continue sanding parts and clicking parts together or whatever. But building model kits, and if I want to do during playing video games or some other kind of direct hobby when I am not watching, that's what I do. That's what I did. What I did recently. Anyways, that's what I did. So I don't know about you guys. Danny said, I could not do what Danny did. I can't play a video game and I'm too.
It depends what it is. Like if it's Animal Crossing, like I can watch. Although I don't think I would be able to play like a cozy game or a survival crafting game that has very minimal dialogue and watch, you know, seasonals, you know, like that's something that I won't do. If I did that, like if I was going to play like a cozy game or a survival game, I would put on something that I've already seen and I would put the English dub on. So
that makes sense,
you know, but other than that, I mean, I would read or watch TV shows that have real life people in them.
Oh, disgusting.
Live action shows.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
You got to touch grass. That's the way.
What about you, Nick? What do you do?
I go outside and I pick up a handful of grass.
You touch grass.
I walk back inside.
And you hold the grass while you're watching anime.
And I announce that I have touched grass.
Seriously, is that what you do?
No. Just take a break. Just chill. Like, you know, just fucking scroll Reddit or whatever and, you know, watch some YouTube.
Yeah, Nick plays a handful of games weekly. That's probably why it doesn't even bother him, is because he's playing Overwatch some nights and then he's playing Clash of Clans.
Don't get into those competitive games. Holy crap.
But I mean, it's those like games are
for any of
those
them.
Games are enough to kind of keep you.
They will drain your whole life away if you're not careful.
Yeah.
Any of the games, League of Legends, maybe not Fortnite, but whatever. I don't know. Any of the ones where you have to like put in a bazillion hours.
Yeah.
That'll give you burnout. Just binge. Binge and crash. Binge and crash. That's what I say.
That'll give you the old.
By the way, do we want to start announcing the anime emoji quiz winners on the podcast, or do we want it?
Hashtag. You should have asked us before we started.
Yeah, I know. I think it'd be fun to do it on the podcast, but if you disagree, that's fair.
Planning on the podcast Discord.
Because the podcast comes out Friday.
Doing it, so I mean, you could do whatever you want.
All right, I'm going to announce it. This week's winner was MF Roast, aka Robot.
Yeah, it's Robot.
Robot.
Robot. And the answer was Yu Yu Hakusho. Congratulations, everybody else. You stink. Robot, you're gonna get whatever's in my dresser drawer. I'll post it on Friday.
Okay, let's post emojis of
like random crap that they get.
Next time, let's do that before a question of the week, right after the.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, but yeah.
Every Friday, anime emoji quiz, roughly around 7 p.m. Give or take.
Join the Discord. Waifu has Bando Danny.
Waifu.
There aren't any waifus.
There aren't any waifus in this movie, so we're just gonna do the two main cat boys. And waifu is Giovanni and husbando is
What about the Milky Way? Could that be the waifu? It's milky.
God, dude. Okay, whatever.
That was such a quote.
Husbando is Campanella. Oh, or Campanella, yeah.
Campanella.
Yeah. Danny, you should have been able to pronounce it. You're Italian.
Yeah, Campanella.
I don't know.
Fucking
I'm
dyslexic.
Danny making
fun of wrong
people. I can't, like, words don't.
Your hands don't work either in Italian.
Fucking Giovanni
Italian.
No, how you fucking don't.
Danny just flails her hands.
All this for a slice of gabagoo. Shout out to King for that one, gabagoo. How you down? Anyways, here's the main topic, okay? Night on the Galactic Railroad. Ginga Tetsuro no Yoru, alternately Nocto de la Galaxia Fervojo in Esperanto.
Oh, yeah. So they speak. It's in Spain, isn't it? It takes place.
It takes place in like Italy.
Oh, sorry. Italy. That's, you know what? Yeah. Same thing, right?
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. Everybody's so mad right now. Dude, they kind of are, but not really.
I'm part Spaniard, and I'll take offense to that. shout out to the teacher cat, Gakusha. It looks like Sudi in the morning. That being said, let me find the synopsis. Okay, here's the synopsis, okay? Night on the Galactic Railroad, 1985, Studio Group TAC. The director is Gisaburo Sugi. Music by Haruomi Hosono. It's based on the classic fantasy novel Night on the Galactic Railroad by Kenji Miyazawa, which was written in 1934.
He died before he got any fame.
Yeah.
He got wrecked.
The screenplay for this film, the anime film, was written by Minoru Betsuyaku, which is, he did a bunch of stuff. He did a bunch of theater work, I think, too. He was actually born in Manchuria, in a Japanese colony in Manchuria, which is, I thought was really interesting. That being said, the group TAC was independent anime studio. The film was produced and released by Nippon Herald Films on July 13th, 1985. And in the same year, won the Ofuji Noboru Award. This award is like the Mainichi Film Awards. Mainichi means like every morning, I think, or every day, I think, something like that. I think it's every day, actually. It's to recognize animation excellence. Okay, so other awards that have won, this is Castle of Cagliostro, Barefoot Gen, a bunch of Ghibli films, Blood the Last Vampire, recently The Boy and the Heron, Inuo, those films. Liz and the Bluebird was another one that won it. But anyways, the synopsis is as such. Giovanni is a young boy who lives on the outskirts of a small rustic village. They don't say the name of the village. You just know it's like Italian because of the words and signage and stuff. His mother
and
is bedridden.
They all talk with their hands.
Okay. His mother is bedridden and his father has not returned home since leaving to work on a fishing boat. He's an outcast of school. Giovanni only has one friend. That's Campanella, the mayor's son. During the town's Festival of Stars, Giovanni starts to daydream atop a hill and looks up to find a steam engine train floating in the air. He boards the train only to find his friend Campanella already there. And so the two begin their journey through the stars, where they come across unusual people and visit many beautiful and haunting places. It's literally a night on the Galactic Railroad. This railroad travels the Milky Way. It travels the belt of stars that goes around our galaxy. And I was not expecting. Here's my first thought, just real quick. But I'll get your first thoughts in a second. But I was thinking I was going to watch something fun with some cat boys. And that's not
it. Said
what it was
kids.
At all.
It's a kids' movie, right, Sam?
This is not a kids' movie.
Yeah, no way, bro.
No way.
Yeah, it's like Poltergeist. That was
fucking
rated G,
Watership
wasn't it?
Down type shit.
Yeah. Oh God, Watership Down. That's a good comp. Jeez.
Fucking A.
That
dude.
Might be a great comp.
It's like, hey guys, here's look at Cat Shit One. It's a cat and a bunny and their little soldiers. Fucking watching camels get headshotted and everything. Like, hell no.
Boom headshot.
Like they're getting sniped. They're getting no scope 360'd. Okay. It's like, oh my God. This is not that bad. This is not as bad as Watership Down and Catch It One. But like it's just really depressing. It has a lot of beautifully haunting imagery, which is something I love, the juxtaposition of. I've always loved things like that. But in this way, it's almost presented in an eerie game over kind of sense. It's like, oh, it's over, man. It's over. You know what I mean? This is like
it's anyways, over, what dude.
What did you guys think when you when you saw it?
I had the same.
It's a slow burner.
It kind of reminded me of like, okay, it wasn't as weird as Cat Soup, but it had cats in it, and there was also soup, and it was weird. There you go. What do you got, Danny? Sorry,
I mean
we're talking at the same time.
I honestly had a hard time paying attention.
It was slow. It was very slow. Yeah.
Like honestly, like my first go around, Yeah, it was really hard for me to pay attention. And then I ended up going to YouTube and watching like a bunch of reviews just to understand the movie.
Yeah, I think I understood it. It was just I don't know. It's one of those movies that in order for it to be good, it has to be as atmospheric as something like Angel's Egg. But I don't think this one quite hit that level. So it wasn't as entertaining as that. You know what I mean? So there's almost like too much talking in it. It's hard to explain. There's something about it that didn't hook me in.
I feel like the beginning definitely was like a struggle to pay attention to. But then,
the first like 20 minutes or so.
Yeah. Woo! But then once like the major twist kind of happens, like when if you catch it and stuff, like that's kind of when it started to pick up and it started to get interesting, especially when the cats, you know, when our boys were on the train and the like priest and the kids like started to come aboard and you know they were talking about their story and all that kind of stuff. So that's kind of when it started to pick up a little bit. So but I mean overall, I mean for me it's a slow burner. And if you can pull through a slow burn like this, then you might actually like it. But for me,
Sucked.
I don't know.
That's Danny.
I don't think
right
this
now.
Is for me, quite frankly. Like, I appreciate the themes in it and stuff, especially after watching some reviews and getting
it has strong themes.
Getting other people's thoughts on it. You know, I was all like, "Damn! Like, I wish I paid a little bit more attention to it." So
I think this movie would be good if you were maybe high. I don't, maybe not. If you were like super
if I was high
out,
and I watched this, I'd probably fall asleep. Not gonna lie.
Yeah, okay, maybe if you were like, oh, you know what? Maybe if you were like,
if you were on
maybe
shrooms
were like
or something like that, like
if you
were on like a more of a high kind of drug rather than
not
like
that
a
we
downer.
Advise this. Please be safe, everybody.
Yeah, be safe.
Don't do something dumb. Just get yourself into a panicked frenzy and then watch the movie. That might help. It'd be kind of a weird feeling. But.
What the fuck is wrong with y'all?
Just get a stomach ulcer and then start watching the movie. But yeah, I did find it interesting how they use cats as like the characters. In the novel, are the characters cats or are they humans?
No, they're humans, I think.
The guy based it off his own life, right? His sister died, and so he wrote the story.
Miyazawa, yeah. I have no idea why.
I think it kind of works. Sort of.
Cats? Yeah, it's really weird. Because then there's human characters in the movie, too.
Other than like the cats being kind of mostly expressionless, that was kind of... That kind of was a little bit odd. But that's what cats are. It's hard to like make an expression with that kind of face.
Yeah.
But I guess them being cats. Oh shoot. There was a reason for it. I think it's because the author compared people to cats at one point. Or he had a thing for cats. There's a reason they did this. I forget why.
30 some years later. Like that's what confuses me. It's like because the film is 85 and the novel is.
I think the author like really liked cats. There was something to do with the cats. Like he compared people to cats, something like that.
Maybe it might have also had to do with the fact that like you don't have to. They thought, oh, well, it's a fucking cat. You can't tell their expressions, right?
Yeah, it like, does feel a little more dreamlike.
They don't want you to see the expressions of Campanella while he's on the train until so and so, and.
I guess cats are metaphorical. They're like enigmatic, kind of.
They're a metaphor for climate change, probably.
Oh, fuck. Wee woo.
Wee woo. Honey Bear's like, no, I'm not. I definitely appreciate it more after the fact, like Danny said. In the beginning, I was falling asleep a little bit. I was kind of like, dude. It takes forever getting in. there's a reason why some of those shots were so long, and I was trying to find the nuance in it, and I couldn't. You know, maybe there isn't one. Maybe they just did it like that. I'm not sure. But, like, there's, like, some scenes that are just so long. Like the just, like, there's a couple of parts where, like, they're sitting on the train and they're staring out the window, and it's just, like, quiet for, like, 2 whole minutes, just nothing. Like,
it's not that bad.
It's not as bad. It's not like Evangelion elevator levels. You know, just like, it's like, okay, like what's why is it so slow? You know what I mean?
I think
it
makes the big thing was like I think the early part of the movie was pretty slow. I know they had to like establish everything, but it just felt like overly, I don't know, like small, the stuff that was happening at the start.
Like in, I don't know.
There was some stuff like where Giovanni and Campanella were like in the classroom. So you got to meet the characters, but then you had to watch Giovanni go like typeset for like 5 minutes. It's like, we didn't need to see that whole scene, dude. We could have had him like walk in and out, you know?
Yeah. Cause like he wanted to earn some money to get some bread.
Yeah. He had to earn money. Milk. So like they could have easily cut that by like, just like him walking in and then, you know, you fade the light so it gets darker, so you know that time passed, right? And then him walking out, you know, something like that.
Eric, you could have literally had him go up to the, yeah, actually, just to get enough context, he walks up to the counter, he goes, "You got any work for me today, sir?" And he goes, "Yeah, typeset this for me." Okay. And then cut to outside, it's darker out now, he walks out.
That's one way to do it, and that would chop out quite a bit of time. But yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. That was really weird. Like, why did they do that? I don't know what the significance of that was. Like,
it showed that he was providing for his family because his dad was away, possibly dead, but definitely not there. So he had to get money.
Right. But even so, it was just like, okay. So that I don't know. The rest of it, the animation and sound and music, the music really added to that. Because the music was so weird. The music was like, it added to the mystery of everything you were watching.
It was pretty freaky. I mean, also, but it does make sense because especially when they're on the train, I mean, they're traveling through the Milky Way. So like, and technically they are in space. So it would definitely be eerie and quiet and stuff. So it did make sense.
It'd be jarring, right? It's like, so they don't want to, it's like the music also didn't want to give you any indication of what you were supposed to be seeing or feeling. And it was just kind of like, it's almost like they wanted you to listen and watch the movie and these two cats, these two characters, and wanted you to interpret what was kind of going on yourself.
Yeah.
And like, some things were obvious. Right. Like when it gets to that, we're going to spoil now because this is part of talking about the themes and stuff. So if you don't like spoilers, get out of my fucking face. Pause this podcast right now. Go to Pluto TV, Tubi TV, Retro Crush, Crunchyroll. It's all, there's even a version of it on YouTube. That's really nice.
It's on YouTube.
Is it on Crunchyroll?
That's what it says.
I didn't check. I just clicked YouTube right away. I'm like, oh, it's there. Sweet.
I didn't check, but that's what it says according to the list of stuff where you can watch it. So.
Yeah, on Mal.
It just says Crunchyroll
on Mal, but I don't know if that's accurate.
I would do Tubi TV or YouTube because Retro Crush made me sign up for like an account. And apparently you need an account now and the ads were fucking up Danny's shit. So I would do Tubi TV or YouTube. But anyways, the YouTube version is like 1080, so it looks really nice.
Oh, how about that? It is on fucking Netflix. I mean, Crunchyroll.
RVM, there you go. Your Crunchyroll account go there.
It's only the dub, though.
Yeah, Retro Crush has the dub. Pretty good dub.
Dub was pretty good. It was Ash Ketchum's voice for the cat.
The original Ash, yeah. Veronica Taylor, whatever her name is, Veronica. Which is funny because in the Japanese version, it's Luffy's voice.
Oh, shit.
Mayumi funny. Tanaka, yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, Crispin Freeman does Campanella in English.
Crispin Freeman! I forget how much voice acting that dude does. Holy shit.
Yo, he's like... been around the block.
Right.
Like, for real.
When did this get
then
dumb?
Then he quit working for a while. Then people gave him shit because everyone said,
Where were you?
It's because he's an asshole. That's because he's an asshole on set. And it turns out it's like, because he refused to do people's bullshit. And it's like, no, don't believe everything you hear, man.
Yeah.
People quit their jobs for a reason. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Anyways.
Oh, it got dubbed in Freeman. By Central Park Media in 2001. Central I was going to say, Media. he wasn't dubbing it in 1985. Because he's not that
no.
old.
Oh, no. Something like that, no. especially back then, you know, even stuff from like the 80s weren't like, especially this type of movie. This type of movie would have, it's not freaking Akira. Like Akira made it to the States, but this, like, I think it's so underrated and stuff that it would have never. And not only that, but I bet you if this just so happened to come here around that time, that dub would have just like totally like butchered everything, and like they would have cut a whole bunch of shit, and like the yeah, whole point and the whole purpose of this movie and stuff, because like they'll just look at the cover and it's like, oh, it's Cats. Like, this is going to be a kid's yeah. movie. And yeah. like when you actually watch it, it's really not a kid's movie at all.
Yeah. They would have to redo it anyway. But yeah. So spoiler territory. But there's this part where, so they're going across different parts of the galaxy, but not only that, they're going to different parts across like the world and life itself, almost in a weird way. They come across the Northern Cross, okay, which is a constellation or Cygnus in the Milky Way. It's one of the most recognizable constellations, and you can see it most in the summer. They come across this guy and these two kids, and he tells a story about how he's taking care of them. And he's describing, well, what happened was, is I wanted to look after them after we were on the ship, and the ship hit an iceberg and the ship drowned. And it was just like, or the ship, you know, took in water, and we were trying to say there wasn't enough boats for every we were trying to save all the women and children first, and there wasn't enough boats for everyone and that kind of thing. So I put them on this boat and I said, we're going to float together forever, you know, that kind of thing. It becomes pretty obvious that they're talking about the Titanic, the RMS Titanic. Shout out Leonardo DiCaprio and James Cameron. You know, it's just like, it was like, okay, now we're in some business. Like, now we're talking about some shit. And then they pass Scorpius. And then one of the children who's sitting with them, which is another constellation, the Zodiac constellation, between Libra and Sagittarius. One of the children talks about a scorpion who perished in this well after escaping a predator. And then it wanted to sacrifice itself for a good cause. And so
they were pretty much describing like the origin of Scorpio and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And its body bursts into a flame that still burns in the sky. And that's like part of the constellation. And then it stops at the Southern Cross. And that's when the human kids get off. And they walk with all the other old cats down this path towards this really bright white cross. It's very clear that that's heaven or whatever. Okay. Amen, Jesus Christ, God and Mary, Mother of the Butt, whatever. shout out Jesus. He's cool as fuck. But so then it's becoming pretty obvious what's going on. Okay. Like this is where the movie's getting in. Okay. So it's like,
he's dead.
This movie's almost 2 hours long. Okay. So
it's more, isn't it? It's hour 47. Oh no, you're right.
Yeah. 113 minutes. So almost 2 hours, but it's like, at this point it's been enough, right? Cause the beginning of it was so slow. So like,
I see. People.
Yeah. Fucking.
It's kind of like Aquino's journey, or like they're going through a bunch of places and seeing a bunch of different, like all the characters they see are basically dead, right?
Yeah.
And Red Cat, whatever his name, Campanella, knows either consciously or subconsciously that he's dead, that he's not coming back.
I don't know if he knows he's dead for sure, but he knows like something.
He knows.
Off.
Oh, he knows.
And so like, yeah, oh yeah, and Giovanni's the only cat on the train with a different kind of ticket because that allows him to go back.
Yeah, which is something we totally skipped, by the way. But the conductor guy is asking. Because
otherwise,
for his
Harrison
ticket.
Ford would have kicked him off the train. No ticket.
The conductor guy's like, "Let me see your tickets," right? And Giovanni's like, "Oh, I didn't get a ticket because, like, you know, I went to the top of the hill, and the train just picked me up from the top of the hill." And so he just pulls out a random piece of paper. It turns out it's like a special ticket or whatever, and it allows him to go anywhere. And so basically what happens is, and we can talk about more of the themes. This is if I it's better to just say it because that way we can talk more about it. Basically what happens is they're best friends, right? And Giovanni's like, we can be together forever. We can just keep riding the railroad, or and see everything together, you know? And they pass through a coal sack, which is like a fucking, which I didn't fucking know what that was until literally just now, by the way. It's a nebula. That's like a dark patch there's a patch of darkness. Like there's not a lot of stars in there. And Campanella sees what he claims to be the true heaven, where he thinks his mom is waiting for him. And Campanella leaves the train and says, "Goodbye, Giovanni, I have to go. Yeah, I'm going to go." And because there's a part earlier, like right before that, where he's like, "Oh, we're going to be together forever," right? And Campanella's eyes water. And it's just like, okay, something's afoot. It's very clear that they're not going to be together forever. Anyways, he leaves. Giovanni wakes up at the top of the hill. And he remembers, "Oh, yeah, I was going to go get milk for my mom. Shit." And, you know, it turns out that one of the cats stops him and goes, "Dude, Campanella dove into the river and like no one can find him. He went in there to save Zanelli, who's this bully cat who was bullying Giovanni in the beginning." And that's it. That's like the.
Well, there's a very Giovanni specific part, especially in the beginning when Giovanni's on the train and Campanella arrives on the train. And Campanella, he was all like, "Oh yeah, Zanelli and everyone else was like chasing me, but they couldn't they couldn't catch me and stuff." So, you know.
And then Giovanni's like, "Why is your coat wet?" And he's like, "Oh yeah."
Yeah, and like you know, wiped it off and stuff.
And I was like, "Oh shit."
Obviously when you first watch it for the first time, you don't know. But then like then when like Giovanni meets his dad, like ends up meeting up with Campanella's dad and stuff like that. That's when like you kind of like, oh shit, like the thing, like two and two starts to come together. So
yeah.
Yeah. That was like nuts. So it was also really interesting though, because after I watched it and I watched one of the documentaries and they were talking about they were definitely talking about the themes of the movie. And one of the themes is that people were debating on, you know, Campanella's selfishness of saving a bully. And it's all like, well, that's not fair. Why does Campanella have to die? But then this bully is able to live and stuff. And then they talk about the scorpion and how like the scorpion decided to sacrifice himself to the weasel or whatever that was chasing him so that the weasel could live. So.
Oh, I'm thinking of the one with the frog. It's like the scorpion and the frog or whatever. That's a totally different thing where they're crossing the water and the scorpion's like, "I could take us both out."
Oh, I'm not familiar with that one.
I think that's different.
Yeah, that's something else I think you're thinking of, man.
Yeah, Scorpion and the Frog.
Scorpion and the Frog.
Vicious people cannot resist hurting others even when it is not in their own interest. that's the moral of that one.
Yeah, dude. No. So having said all that, I think it's interesting. I would have loved to, and for the sake of the review, obviously I wanted to watch more things like Danny did and research more. But I kind of would have loved to maybe watch it again.
Yeah, I think I should have probably watched it again just to like,
yeah, this one needs
and
a,
actually
needs a
pay attention and not try to like fall asleep.
Danny was trying to fall asleep.
So then it's like, well, you know, and I don't blame anyone. I didn't watch it until today. So I had a rough couple weeks, and yeah, so and that's our fault or whatever, right? But also the beginning of it takes forever to get in, and you're just kind of just like, oh shit, I'm supposed to be fucking watching this for a
podcast. I watched it in chunks, in like three chunks.
I watched it in two chunks, yeah. And because by the time I had to switch to emails on at work, I had to turn it off. But what I've heard is the novel's been retranslated like three or four times. And so it's rumored to be like that it has a different kind of tone each translation. And so I'm kind of wondering what the most popular version that most Japanese readers read, I believe, is this version that we watched. But that being said, I wonder if I would have caught on anyways, because it does so many things to make you not realize what's happening. Again, the music is really weird. It's like, if you guys ever listen to the band Animal Collective, it's like, it's like Avatar and Panda Bear levels of like kind of weird. And if you ever listen to the geologist, who's the drummer of Animal Collective, there's no expressions on the cats' faces, not really. You know what I mean? And especially the main two cats. And you're wondering why they're seeing all these random events in life, like things that blend myth and religion and real life events together. So here's the myth of Scorpio. Here's the real life event of the Titanic. And here's the Christian heaven. Blending all these things together in this trip around the galaxy. So it's like making it clear that it all coexists, right? That was literally my only takeaway. But everything else every other nuance in it I didn't catch. And so I think probably that's what makes it a good film, because I could probably sit here for another like 20, 30 minutes trying to dissect it with you guys. I'm not going to, but like, I don't know. I enjoyed it for what it was. I really do like the art direction and presentation as well. And
I did notice it had some early CG in there when they went to the cornfield.
Yeah, the train in the cornfield. Yeah. And I, you know, I don't know. I guess that's my big picture and final thoughts. Kind of moment there, but I don't know. What do you guys think? Final thoughts wise, what do you guys feel? And do you recommend it? How do you think you'll ever watch it again? Do you think it's a staple in the zeitgeist of anime or anime film work, or even just art in general? Like,
well,
it
is in Japan. It's a very popular story.
Yeah.
So for sure, for them it is. I mean, not in the Western world, because if you look on MAL, its popularity, it only has 26,000 members, and it's in the 4,000s for popularity. So that's like really low down. It's kind of hard to get into. It's an older film. It's hard to explain. Like, it doesn't have the hook. Like I was saying, it doesn't have the hook that these other, even obscure films like Angel's Egg, that one is just weird. And it's like really stylish. This one is not as stylish, although it looks decent enough. It's just, it looks so old. I don't know how to explain it. It almost looks like 70s style, like super far apart eyeballs and stuff. And like, it's just really soft faces. I think the style is going to put a lot of people off, and like just the nature of it and the themes of the night on the Galactic Railroad. It's not fun, you know, and it's not hype. And like, what kind of toys are you going to get for this? It's not very marketable, you know, but it is like a potentially a poignant story if you're looking for something of this nature. Yeah, and like we mentioned before, like Angel's Egg is a little bit similar. Penguin Drum, I guess. I'm just looking on the mail recommendations. Somebody also recommended Cat Soup. I don't know about that, but okay, Spirited Away. So like, if you want a better version of this, just watch Spirited Away.
Yeah, I definitely got Spirited Away vibes from it.
This isn't bad. I don't think it's aged as well as some of these other properties.
Yeah. I mean, it's not bad. It's the story itself is an interesting story. Quite frankly, I think I would like to read the book and see what's in there and stuff. So
yeah. I think it feels too like allegorical. It feels a little bit too abstract. Like, here's the lesson we're trying to show you. And that's fine. It's just not entertaining enough for me and for probably most people for me to recommend it. You know what I mean? It doesn't have the pizzazz. It doesn't have the pop that Ghibli films have, you know? And like, and it's also just kind of sad. So like, you know, the optics are not super great. But I mean, if you're a hardcore anime fan, you should definitely watch it for sure. Just so you know, you can participate in the discussion.
Yeah. I just wasn't too thrilled with the pacing and stuff like that. So
yeah, we were saying how it could have been sliced down a little bit.
Yeah.
Because let's see. So, like, I'm going to go back to Angel's Egg. This was a very weird movie. And same year, this was only an hour and 11 minutes. Whereas, you know, Sam was saying it's like an hour 13 or whatever. This one is, I'm just getting the timer here. Hour and 47 minutes. So, yeah, it's like an extra 30 minutes, basically. Or 36 minutes. I think they could have chopped out a little bit of time. I don't know if got down to hour 11. That might have been a little short, but I think they could have chopped out like 15 minutes probably.
Mm-hmm.
This is why you need an editor who's like just brutal sometimes.
I would definitely, I'm kind of with you guys. It's kind of just like, if you want to kind of be a part of the discussion and just kind of add it to your repertoire, you know, your watch list, then I say go ahead and watch it. But at the same time, it's kind of just like, I think as much as I enjoyed it for what it was, I think we all kind of did in our own ways, you know. I would say you'll probably be fine if you don't. You know what I mean? Like, I think if you wanted to view it as just a decent piece of animation and art piece, and kind of want to maybe, if you're into that kind of deep kind of thing, mysterious thing that you want to explore and asking the hard questions, you know, significance and insignificance, that kind of thing in our galaxy and our universe or in life, whatever the hell. I think this is kind of a really nice pocket story to kind of get into that kind of discussion, you know? But other than that,
other anime have like borrowed from this too. So like, if you want to get some references and like, oh, they staged the scene the same as the, you know, Night of the Galactic Railroad train or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
It's worth watching just for that. You know, but as far as like pure entertainment, I wouldn't put it as high as a lot of other stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That being said, let's do some scores. Scores.
Danny, do you want to go first? We got to...
Yeah.
It's hard to score it, huh? Like, it's like.
Well, I mean.
Yeah, I don't know.
I like low key feel bad for giving it a bad score because like it's not bad material and stuff like that. It just made me not pay attention. Like the execution.
Hey, whatever you want. Whatever you want.
The execution of it just wasn't up to par for me. Oh man. I'll give it 5.5 out of Giovanni eating soup out of 10.
Dang it.
All right, Sam, you're up.
I give it 7 cat boys out of 10.
Sam has to have the highest score because of the Face Johnsons.
Yeah, Face Johnson presentation.
All right, I'm going to give it 6 blah, 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 blah. 6 drowned cats out of 10.
God, why you got to be so on, morbid?
Well, that's what the movie is, Danny. What do you want?
Yeah, but you scored it. Morbid.
You don't actually see the drowned cat, so it's not that bad.
If you watch it again, you can see bits of like bubbles and like a paw like trying
okay,
to like
well, you
swim
don't,
up.
But you don't see like a bloated corpse is what I'm saying.
Oh, well, I mean, you do see like an image. Like it's pretty quick. I saw it. I caught it in like
one of the
reviews.
I missed that one.
The video that I shared with you guys,
is that near the end or the beginning?
It was like when it was revealed. I can't remember where they said it was. I think it was around the time they were like looking when Giovanni was looking out when it was just Caponella and Giovanni on the train and they were getting to that like pitch black Nova of the galaxy and
okay kind of
I think it was
the
around there. I can't remember. I would have to watch the review video again to give you an exact like where it was,
so. but you see something, so but anyway,
yeah, I mean it's not like a full body, it's just bubbles and like water and stuff, like someone's underwater kind of like gasping for air kind of thing, and you see like a cat paw, so yeah.
Anyways, that's really terrible, Nick. That's terrible of you. That being said, I say give it a watch. Danny and Nick might say, you know,
it's not for everybody. Definitely not for everybody. And like my enjoyment score was like maybe a 5, but I'm giving it a 6 just because like I think it was good enough to give it a 6. I don't know. Enjoyment is low, but the quality is like medium high. So I just kind of balance it. For context, I gave Angel's Egg a 10, and so I gave this a 6. So this is
Angel's
not,
Egg, I feel like.
And that's also not for everybody, but.
Oh, man, I love Angel's Egg.
I think I gave Cat Soup like a 5 or something. I don't know what I gave that one. That
Angel's
one was weird.
Angel's Egg is so fucking good. I don't know, man. There's something about Angel's Egg. It's like, I don't know. In Night of Galactic Railroad, I feel like I expected a little more than. I think I tried too hard to keep everything mysterious, and that's why I didn't give it something higher. Whereas Angel's Egg, it knew exactly what it was doing,
and it was quick.
Even if the creators say they didn't know, you know.
I gave
mean?
Cat but Soup like, a 7. Apparently,
Cat Soup.
That one was very
oregano.
Short.
Put a little oregano in there. It's delicious. But yeah, dude. Listen. Give it a watch. If not, I'm not going to be offended. It's fine. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, but I mean, I think it's a cool piece of art. And it's literally, you can watch it pretty much anywhere. You know what I mean? So it's there, you know? So, but yeah. Thanks again for listening every week, you guys. We appreciate it. And we got a lot of things coming on the pike right now. You know, there's fucking, you know,
hot takes coming up.
The award show, hot takes coming up, award show coming up. And then, you know, shortly after that, we'll get into the fucking winter review. Not that we really had a fucking winter. Like, I mean, Oh, God. Apparently we're in a fucking climate change.
Eternal summer of the everything's fucking on fire.
El Nino. Some shit.
We need Matthew McConaughey to go into a black hole and save us.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, his daughter saved us, but close enough.
Pretty much. Pretty much.
I just watched that movie for the first time.
Yeah, the movie's good.
Interstellar.
I watched
Now that's Ocean's a fun movie. 8.
I watched Ocean's 8 the other day, and yesterday.
Oh, that's
Ocean's
one of those 8. Reboot ones, yeah.
It's the Ocean's 11 with all women or whatever, and the main character is George Clooney's sister, who just gets out of jail. And
why did they choose 8 and not like a different number? Anyway.
Because there's 8 of them instead of...
Why not like 10 or 9 or...
I don't know, but like...
okay, yeah, it doesn't matter.
And it doesn't matter, yeah. The problem with Ocean's 8, is I'll say this really quick.
You know why, Sam? Because women's only 70% of men, am I right? Seven out of 11, right?
No, the characters were really fucking cool, but the problem is that it almost went too smooth. The heist that they were doing.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
There wasn't any big conflict. I was like, oh, man, like...
Well, in Ocean's 11, it went very smoothly, too, but it was...
Oh, that's true, I guess. No, you're right.
That's kind of what Ocean's 11 is. Like, they're all super smooth. Stuff goes wrong. But, like, they're all, like, triple A-list actors, so.
Well, there's a few things that go wrong, but they recover real quick. They're like, oh, shit.
You know?
But Rihanna as the hacker chick, Nineball, super cool.
Oh, and, like, the singer?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
She plays the hacker, Nineball. And they're like, they go to her and like, wait, so what's your name? She's like, Nineball. No, what's your real name? 8-Ball. Like this one. She doesn't want to say, because no hacker's going to tell you their real fucking name. Okay, they're just
That's a bad idea.
Yeah. So she's like, 8-Ball. She's just like, all right, like whatever.
They probably wouldn't show their face, to be honest. They'd have a mask on or something.
Yeah, for real. But yeah, Awkwafina's in it too. And also.
Now you're just making up names.
Dude, Awkwafina is great. You like Awkwafina?
That sounds, is that like an anime girl or something? What is that?
No, she's an actor.
Okay.
She plays Katie in Shang-Chi.
I haven't seen that one. I haven't seen any of the new Marvel stuff. So.
Come on!
I'm going to watch Deadpool. That looks good.
I'll tell you what. Shang-Chi, the way that
I heard that was decent. I heard Shang-Chi was pretty decent.
The way the last fight happens, that's how you do a Dragon Ball movie. Just saying. Can easily be done. Like,
you better back away before I hit you with a Dragon Ball.
And then they Dragon Balled everywhere.
And then they Dragon Balled everywhere. Anyways, thank you for listening every week. I appreciate it. Don't forget to join the Discord, get your hot takes in the participation channel. And
we got a lot of them.
Go on Twitter and then go on Discord as well, either or to find the doc that Danny posted in announcements, or it's on one of the latest tweets, to click that Google Doc and vote for the Anime Summit in the Plummet Awards show coming up. And yeah, we will see you all then. Until then, have fun. I love you. I love you just the way you are. I've been Sam. That's been Nick. That's been Danny over there and playing with Mochi. And we've been the Anime Summit Podcast.